Good Father's Day. Hey, it's always good to come back from a mission trip. It'd be Father's Day. There's a lot of stuff there could be said about that mission trip, and we, one of the biggest elements of that was fathers. There's one place there that had 250 homes, over 500 children, and only three dads in that whole place. Three dads. So you got, if you've got a father and he's been in your life, then you don't know how blessed you are. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Today we're going to talk, this is going to be a warrior story. On Father's Day, you only have three options. Roast dads. Some of y'all men, y'all should say thank God because we're not roasting dads today. Encourage dads. That's another part, and that'd be a good one. Or just fire dads up. Amen? We're doing the fire dads up day. Y'all okay with that? Is everybody all right? Man, y'all are so quiet. This is so what we're going to do today is just, it's a warrior story. A story of a man who was KIA, who was killed in action. A warrior story, a man who received the highest honor of his nation. He was recognized. It'd be like our Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He was recognized by the king of his country for being the most important man in his life. That kind of warrior. Is there any men in here, any fathers? It's a men's message / Father's Day message. Are there any men in here who want to be great men? Who want to be greater men than you are today? This should encourage you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to give you these verses, and then I'm going to tell you about the man that these verses represent, this warrior that we're going to talk about today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't get that because you'd have got it. He's talking to this warrior, and he's saying, hey, be strong in God, in Jesus's what? Grace. Oh, never mind. Golly, do you know what it means to be strong in God's grace, in Jesus's grace? That means you can be a warrior, you can be a child of God, you can be effective for God, and mess up, and know that you're going to fall upon His grace. Godly. Has there anybody in here served God or try to serve God or is trying to serve God, but sometimes you mess up? Guess what? Your strength doesn't come from how good you are and how awesome you are. It comes from the fact that even when you're trying to serve God, He's willing to give you grace for when you mess up. Golly, I'm glad that's in there. I'm glad that's in there because sometimes I serve God and I do really good, and then sometimes I get angry. Y'all don't get angry, do you? I mean, and say things and think things and react to things. You know what? What gets you up out of the bed the next day? What makes you say, oh, well, I just got angry. I just said the wrong thing. I just thought the wrong thing. I just spoke the wrong thing. How can I keep serving God? I might as well quit. No, because guess what? I can go to God's grace. Hey, Jesus, it's your soldier. It's Private Kevin Shelton reporting for duty. God, I messed up yesterday on the battlefield. Can you issue me some more gear? Can you give me a new shield, a new sword, a new helmet, a new breastplate, a new belt? Because I kind of got upset and threw my sword down. Y'all ain't. Somewhere along the way, oh God, I'll just preach to you, Rick. Ain't nobody in here listening to me. Hey, somewhere along the way, I dropped my helmet. Yeah, y'all ain't never. Y'all won't be real with me, but I'll real with you. Have you ever acted like you ain't saved? You know they call it the helmet of salvation because it protects your brain. Amen. Have you ever walked around like you ain't got no helmet? Amen. I mean, it's just sitting somewhere else, and you're acting a. Thank you. Amen. You're acting a fool. You're acting like somebody who ain't never met Jesus. You're mad. I know some of y'all spiritual in here ain't never done that. But you do it. And he says, look, there's a reserve of Jesus' grace for you. Golly bum. I'm glad when I mess it up, man, I can go and get a fresh issue from Jesus. Amen? Check this out. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Men, I hate to tell you this. How many of you, let me ask you this. How many of you have been enlisted in God's army? That means how many of this room have been saved? 10, 12. Oh, more of you. Okay, great. Had to convince you of that. Well, let me ask you this. You know what I'm telling you? Guess what it says right here? You're not only supposed to be a warrior who's in God's army, but you're supposed to pass it on to the people that are next to you or under you or that belong to you or who are submissive to you. Dads, let me tell you this. Let me tell it to you this way. If you're the father, if you're the husband, if you're the man, then guess what? You're supposed to hand down this faith to the next generation so they can hand it to the next generation. And it's not somebody else's responsibility. It is your responsibility. The Bible calls you the husband. If you really break that down, it's called houseband. It's the thing that holds the house together. If the house is not held together, it's not my wife's fault. It's not the kids' fault. It's not the government's fault. It's laying at your feet. It's your fault. Oh. Some of y'all said, man, I wish I'd have signed up for another day. I'd have came on a better day. Should have came on Mother's Day. I thought you were going to encourage us, not roast us. I am encouraging you. I'm encouraging you. Well, I've not been that guy. I've not been the person who's passing it down to the next generation. Start now. Start today. Start by getting up out of your seat, crawling on this altar, and saying, God, I'm saved. I'm in the army. Now give me the tools to fight with. I don't want to just be an enlistee. I don't want to just be on the team. I want to be in the battle. I want to be in the fight for the rest of my life. You want a better marriage? You want better kids? Live better for God. It'll happen. Oh. Thou therefore endure, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible, I hate to tell you this, everybody raised their hand and said you're in the army of Christ. Guess what? You're going to have to endure hard times as a soldier. Really hard times. Amen? Really hard times as a soldier for Christ. But you know what? That's what you signed up for. You know, I was in the Marine Corps. I signed up for the United States Marine Corps. I did. Some of y'all said, man, you must have been a rough, tough guy. No, I was out of options. I'm being honest. I'd like to tell you that I was some great, awesome guy that when I was in high school, I was sitting there going, man, I can't wait to get out there and serve. I do love my country. I do with a passion. I love America is the greatest country on the face of the planet. But I just want you to know that wasn't me. I didn't have no, I wasn't going to high school. I wasn't going to college. I really didn't go to high school, to be honest with you. I sit up front with all the smart people for a reason. You'll figure it out later. All right. I wasn't going to college. I hated the job that I had, and it was about to end at the end of the summer, and guess what? I met a recruiter, and he was the smartest man on the planet, Staff Sergeant Overton. The Army came. They promised me everything. The Navy came, promised me everything. Air Force came and told me I wasn't smart enough. Shut up, Lance. I see you back there smiling. I see you. You had to be smart to get it. My brother got in the Air Force. That tell you something. But Staff Sergeant Overton came into my house, set out his paperwork, started going through the whole thing, and he looked dead in my eye, and he said, never mind. Pack this stuff up. I'm like, what are you doing? What do you mean, never mind? He goes, never mind. You would never make it. I said, you better stop. Come back in here. Let me see that paperwork signed up. I was signed up for boot camp the next day, going to Paris Island in 2 months. And, man, I went and I said, oh, Staff Sergeant, you're so good. You're good at your job, Staff Sergeant. He knew exactly how to push my buttons. Just tell me I can't do something and I'll do it, right? But I signed up because I ran out of options. But once I got in, man, there was some cool stuff. They had this thing called the Chow Hall. Hey, man. I didn't even know it existed the first year I was in the Marine Corps. Guess what? Somebody, all of a sudden, I said, man, I ain't got no money to eat. I spent all my money because I was on a private's paycheck. And I'm sitting there sitting in the barracks, and I'm hungry. And I'm like, man, I wish I had something to eat. So we're all going to the Chow Hall. What's that? I knew what a Chow Hall in basic was. I knew what the Chow Hall was when I went through my schools. But I didn't know it was available to me every day. And I went down there, and I had 4 omelets. I was like, this is awesome. I'll be back tomorrow. They said, don't wait till tomorrow. You can come back at lunch. And I did. I got one of the coolest uniforms you've ever seen. It's called the dress blue uniform. Now, it's better than all the other uniforms. Lance, smiling with your smart self back there. And we did some cool training. We run in the mud in the jungles, and we trained this, and we trained that, and we studied that, and I stood in front of buildings and monuments and people and did ceremonies. But at the end of the day, guess what I was? And guess what Lance is back there? And what some of you guys that served in the military, you know what you are? You're an insurance policy. If it all goes bad, you're going to fight. If it all goes bad, you're going to be the front line. You're going to be the insurance policy. For anybody that don't else want to go, you're going. Your job is, you know what they used to call us in the military? They called you GI. You know what that means? General issue. You're just like a shovel or a shelter half. A tent, sorry. You're just a piece of equipment that goes to battle. Amen? That's who you are. That's what God said you are. And guess what? You better figure it out real quick. If you signed up for God's army, which when you repented of your sins and took his grace and you're going to eternal life in heaven, guess what? You're in God's army. Guess what? When it all breaks down, you're going to war. If you didn't know it, we're in the middle of a war right now. It's spiritual warfare. Amen? Listen to this. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. You know what it means? I don't care. In the Marine Corps, it didn't matter. In here, does not matter about the stuff. It's all about serving God. You don't get, if you're a real soldier for God, all the stuff can go away. All the stuff can be taken away. It's you and God. You're in a war. Amen? Check this out. That he may please, God, I want to preach this so bad. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what he said right there? He said, a good soldier will want to serve in a way that somebody says, why are you serving? You love your country? Yeah, 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 yeah. You like the uniform? Yeah, yeah. You like the free meal? Yeah. Do you like the shoes? Yeah. Get to shoot a gun? Yeah. Get to fight the enemy? Yeah. Is that it? No. He chose me to serve. He let me in. Is there anybody in here that's still excited just about being in the fight? Over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, there was a man. His name was Uri. And Uri was in the heat of a battle. His name's Uri, and he goes, he is a Hittite. Okay, y'all good? Because sometimes you read in Bible names, you say Uri, Hittite. You mean his first name's Uri, his last name's Hittite. No, he's one of them Ite brothers. Jebusite, Perizzite. Yeah, okay, he's an Ite boy. You know what I'm saying? Okay, y'all get it. Uri the Hittite, he was one of those guys that he loved God and he loved God's people, and God chose him and said, I want to save you and adopt you in. You don't belong. God, I wish there were some people in here. Did you ever get adopted in? So everybody in here is Jewish. All right, great. If you're a gent, never mind. So Uri got grafted in to the nation of Israel, and God chose him to be his soldier. and he fell under David's authority. He fell under Joab's authority, and he was out there fighting with God's people, and he was on the battlefield, and he was sweating and hungry and thirsty, and he missed his wife. He missed his wife, and guess what? David, it would be like Donald Trump sending for you on the battlefield. I want to see Private so-and-so in my office tomorrow. Y'all get it? Y'all get the weight of that? The most powerful person on the face of the planet, out of all of the soldiers, says, let me see you. Let me see your eye. Your eye's out on the front line, and he's fighting like he don't belong. Is there anybody in here who's fighting like you don't belong? Somebody said, Wayne, you need to chill out with your Christianity. You need to back up on your faith. You need to kind of simmer down. You're doing too much. You're too loud. You're too invasive. You're too this. Hey, I didn't belong here. God chose me. He let me in, so I'm going to cause a ruckus. I'm in. You can't get me out. You can't get me out of this army. Amen? So I spent a lot of time down in Selma. I'm just wilding out. Sorry, nobody got that but me and you. Just me and her. We just get Heather's only. I'm just going crazy up in here. Heather's up in here again. Sorry. Pastor's been around Selma too long. Man, he's out there fighting. All of a sudden, somebody taps him on the shoulder. Hey, man! What? Hey! The king wants you! No, he couldn't want me! I'm sorry, I just threw myself in Vietnam all of a sudden. It's swords and such, ain't it? Just get over, I love combat type stuff, so just, I'm preaching to men this morning. All you women are just catching residual, right? Some of you women go out here better than the men will. So he's hacking and slashing, and you know, he's like, what? And he's like, the king wants you! No, tell him I'm busy! Wish y'all get this. John, just tell him I'm busy. I don't want to see him right now. I'm working. I'm doing God's work. No, serious. The king wants you. The president wants you. You're coming off the battlefield. Man, why was I not battling good enough? Was I not fighting hard enough? That's what I think sometimes. When God takes me and puts me back a little bit, and I think it's a demotion. When it's God just taking you to a whole nother level to fight a whole nother devil. Hey, man, you think God's demoted you? Because guess what? They took God, I'll break this down for you. He was on the front line, and he went back to where the office people, office people. Did I call them pogues? Administration. People, pencil pushers, lackeys. I'm sorry. You know what I used to do when I'd be real stinky? I'd go in the field for like 8 days, and they'd tell you, you got to go fill out some paperwork in the main office when you get back from being in the jungle. I said, okay. They said they want you to shower first. Not going to happen. I'd go up in the waiting room. 8 days of funk. And all them office people are like, hey, you need to get out of here. You need to go take a shower. I said, no, you need to enjoy this. This is where I've been for 8 days, right? When he goes by the administration, he goes by the people, and he gets showered up, he gets clean. They probably put him on a fresh horse. And he looks, man, he's got his dress uniform on because he's going to go meet the king. And he looks like he's coming off the battlefield. He looks like he's coming off the battlefield. And he's probably thinking, man, I ain't got swords and arrows. In our case, missiles and bombs and everything going on in my life. I'm not ducking and weaving and jiving. I'm not doing all that. I'm kind of going to a safe place. God told me to break it down for you like this. Some of y'all, when you come home from the work, when you come home from your office, when you come home from the field work, when you come home from your boardroom, when you come home from mechanicing, when you come home from that place where you got to have your guard up at work, that you're trying to be a great Christian and you're dodging all the fiery darts and putting up your faith, and you get in your truck. James Hanks, where's James Hanks? He's about there. Okay. All right. He gets in that big Dodge, you know, that big red Dodge that he hauls everything with, you know. He jumps in that thing. He comes home, right? I just see him. I seen James when I was preaching. Somebody tell him I used his name in the message. I see him coming home, you know. He just takes that guard down. He's like, man, I'm not out there doing the hazmat thing. I ain't hauling nothing. I'm going home, right? Mandy's waiting on them kids. Tell him I used him in his message. But I tell you, sometimes when you're leaving the heat of the battle as a man, sometimes the worst battles you'll ever face are the ones when you're comfortable. When you can't see the enemy so clear. When you are about to eat, when you are about to get something cool to drink, when you are about to come home, when you do open the door of your house. Have you ever been excited to be home? Have you ever been excited to get home from the battle, and yet the battle's now just began? I mean, you thought, man, I've been fighting the devil down there at the job, man, the boss and all them, and man, I putting up with tenants and putting up with rent and putting up with the hassle and putting up with them people. You open the door and you walk in, you're like, man, it's going to be safe here. Oh, there's my couch. There's my lazy boy. Where's my remote? Don't get between a man and his remote, right? My wife, have you ever tried to talk through somebody when you're trying to watch the Braves? She's like, honey, this is what I want you to do. And I was like, I'm trying to, you know, what you need to do is scooch over. Oh, y'all don't do that. Just, I can't see what's about to, oh, I need to go make amends. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all don't know anything about that. All right. So guess what? Uri comes back from the battle, and he's expecting. He's probably thinking. I don't know if he's been gone a day, a month, a year, a week. I don't know why he's been gone. I'm just gonna assume it's longer than a week, and maybe not as long as a year. But if you leave for any period of time, you're gonna miss some stuff. God, you husbands in here should do me a favor right now, and just kind of slide your arm around your wife and go, baby, if I was gone for any period of time, it would be you that I miss. I mean, golly, you'd get a steak out of it. Right? Yeah, thank you. You've been, you're the only thing that you would be the main thing that I missed. If I was gone for a week, a month, or a year, I'd just try to be getting home to you. And Uri's on his way back, and he's riding in to Jerusalem, and I know in his mind, he's like, man, my wife's down there, man, Bathsheba. Oh, she looks fine. I can't wait to see her. That's exactly what the enemy wanted. That's exactly what the devil wanted. There was something in Uri. Uri was like, man, I want to see my wife. I'm hungry for. It's the whole message. It's the only reason David was sent for him, was to cover up his sin, hoping Uri would go into his wife Bathsheba that would cover his sin. I want to see my wife so bad. He did. But there was something in there, the Holy Spirit and God that had called him into his army, said, don't worry about the simple pleasures right away. Just focus on me. Still act like you're on the battlefield. He said, but I'm hungry too. She makes a great meatloaf. It ain't compared to her, but the meatloaf's pretty good. Man, some of you men in here looking at me like, I can't believe he's talking about trying to get home to see his wife. And all. Yeah, golly, y'all so pathetic. Maybe he's thirsty too, you know. He'd like to have some of that cool water, and maybe she makes a chocolate milk. I don't know. Maybe it's buttermilk there. I don't know. My dad drank buttermilk. I couldn't understand why. Buttermilk and cornbread, that was his thing. And a fresh onion. Anyway, But I can't wait to get home, get that drink, get that food, get that relaxation. I can be comfortable, right? But inside him, God was saying, no, you better get your guard up. You're going, hey, the devil's raging here more than he was on the battlefield. Some of you men need to know this. The devil's raging more at your house than he is down at the place where you work or where you serve. And you need to do some cleaning there. You need to do some guarding there. You need to do some fighting there. Amen? More than you do need at the job. You need to do it at home. And all of a sudden, he's in there. He's like, hey, King David looks at him and says, hey, I want you to go down to your house. First of all, he made small talk. How's the battle going? He didn't care how the battle was going. He said, how's Joab doing? Is he leading you good? I see your eye just in there going, man, why in the world did he send for me to ask for this, man? I don't need this. I should be out on the battlefield. And he said, you know what? Matter of fact, this meeting's over. You head down to your house. You go see your wife. See you, man. God bless you. Thank you for serving. Head on down there to your house. David's like, man, I got this. He then calls for a servant. Hey, servant! Hey, come here, come here, come here. Matter of fact, you cut him some of the greatest steaks you've ever seen. I want you to cut him the best choice meat that we have. Send him ribeyes, New York strips. You send him every kind of great meat we got, and you send dinner, and you cook it just right. If he says he wants it rare, you cook it rare. If he wants it medium, you cook it medium. If he wants it, I don't care. If he wants it well done, you char that baby up. You give him whatever he wants. And man, the meat man is headed down there. Amen? And he gets down, and he knocks on the door of Uriah's house, and Bathsheba opens the door. Hey, how are you? I'm the meat man. How you want them steaks cut? How's Uriah want his steak? Uriah's not here. What are you talking about? He's in the battle. He's way out on the battlefront. No, he's supposed to be here. My husband is on the battlefield. I know he is. Because if he wasn't, he'd be right here. I know he loves me. He'd be right here. Man, that servant runs back up to the castle. Hey, David, I went down there, but he's not there. What are you talking about? He is a man just like me. He went down there, and he was with his wife. He ate that meat. He drank our wine. He done what I needed him to do. Somebody go find him. One of his servants come back. Man, you're not going to believe this. This guy's asleep in a doorway on the back side of the castle. Dave said, what? He's asleep in a doorway. He leaned up on one side of the door jamb and just curled up. He didn't even use a blanket. He just rolled up against the door, and he turned his head towards the door and not towards the road, because he knew if he had looked at the road, he might be down at his house. It was almost like he turned to the door and said, God, you're going to have to help me be the man that I want to be. I want to be a man who thinks of you first, not of himself. And I laid there all night praying until I fell asleep. I said, David was very distraught and couldn't figure him out. And he's like, let me ask you, why did you not go down to your wife? And why did you not eat my meat? You know what his first answer was? He said, the tabernacle's on the battlefield. Okay, the tabernacle represented the presence of God. You know what he was saying? God is on the battlefield, and if God's on the battlefield, I'm still on the battlefield. If God's out there, sir, if God's out there working, then I'm out there working. I'm not going to lay down. He said, guess what? My people, the ones that invited me in, who welcomed me in, they're on the battlefield, and they're on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield. In my mind and in my body, I'm not going down to my house. He goes, man, my leaders are down on the battlefield. He said, and this got him. It's got David right in his gut. Man, he hit him right in the gut. And he says, as you liveth. And no. In our language, he said, David, I promise you this. As long as you live, I'm not going down to my house and being with my wife and being comfortable. You hear what he said? As long as you live. You know what he was doing? David was doing everything wrong, and he expected him to do everything that he would do, because listen to this, just because everybody else is doing wrong don't mean you have to do wrong. Just because somebody else might get away or seem like they're getting away with something don't mean like you try to get away with it. Hey, guess what? If everybody else is doing wrong, that just gives you a brighter light to shine. You're going to do it right. So David, he took out, y'all don't get mad at me. And if you do, talk to me right after church about it. I don't have no problem with you. He broke out his strongest drink. That strong stuff. Probably some moonshine. That's what it says in the Bible. He broke it out and he said, and he gave it to Uriah. And he got Uriah drunk. I know. Meet me right out the chair. I won't believe it. I'll show you right in the Bible where it says, and he was drunk. So don't be mad at me. Wait a minute. You say, wait a minute. Uriah got, you know, he drank. Yeah, he made a mistake. You ever made a mistake as a Christian? I hate to tell you, but in a crowd this size, hey, some of you are going to make a mistake. I hate to bust your bubble. It's going to happen. You know what he did? He made one mistake, but he didn't make all of them. I said this earlier this week. Think about this. Making a mistake as a Christian doesn't mean you go all the way back to where you started before you met God. Amen? That means you better recognize before you get out of control, before this becomes a habit, before this becomes something you do every day, before the drink takes you, before the drug takes you, before the relationship takes you, you take control and head back to Jesus. He was standing there and he said, all right, man, now go down to your wife. And you know what? He got a little bit further. He didn't sleep in the doorway. You know where he went? Oh, y'all, this is cool. He went down and opened the door to the servants' chamber. He went down to where all the slaves slept. He walked in, shut the door behind him, found him a little low spot, and curled up in a ball and went to sleep. Huh? Went to sleep. Next day he woke up, and David said, this guy ain't going to give up. He said, give me a pen and paper. And he wrote down, he said, Joab, this here's Uriah. He's one of the greatest soldiers we have. What I want you to do is I want you to put him in the hottest battle, and then I want you to back up from him and let him die. Because he didn't put it on the paper, but he said, I'll do anything. Listen, I'm preaching to somebody. Just listen to me. Just give me a minute. He said, I've gotten so deep in my sin that I'll cover it up with anything. You know, you can get so far deep in sin, you don't think you could do it, but you can. If King David could do it, you can do it. You can get so far in your sin that he said, I'll do anything to cover it up. I'd even kill somebody who's an amazing guy. Amen? And he sealed that, and he handed it to Uriah, and Uriah took his death sentence all the way to the front line and was killed. But let me show you something. I'm going to close. Everybody stand as Scott comes to get us on. I'm going to show you something. When David was about to die, he named 37 men. He named 37 men. He said, I want to give you the 37 most important men that has ever been in my life. Before I die, I want to name the 37 most important people in my life. And he started naming men one after another. 36 of them. And he got to the last person. He said, this guy right here is the most important man I ever met in my whole life. Because you always save the best for last. He said, this man taught me more about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And he also taught me when a man really chooses to do right, he can do right. And this is what he wrote. The 37th most important man in David's life is Uriah the Hittite. And it says 30 and 7 in all. 2 Samuel 23, verse 39. And he said, the most important man in my life is a man who taught me how bad I could really be and how much I really needed God. So I want to encourage some of you dads here today and some of you fathers. At the end of your life, some of your biggest failures will teach you how good God has been to you. Some of your biggest failures, your biggest letdowns that you would say, I don't want to put that out there for anybody. I don't know who was writing this. I don't know if it was Samuel or if it was the prophet Nathan. But they said, he goes, and maybe his voice was getting weak, Chris. Maybe his voice is getting weak and he's getting real frail and he's about to pass out of this life. And he said, I've got one more person I want to put on the list. And Nathan leans over. Who is it, David? Who is it? Who is it, great king? Who is it? I would really like it if you'll put your eye down. Because he taught me how much I needed God. I'm not a great man without God. And maybe Nathan or Samuel said, oh, David, can we put his name in the middle? Can we hide it somewhere? God, I'm preaching better than y'all think I am. There's some things I'd like to hide in my story. There's some things I would like to say that ain't me. As a man, there's some things I'd like to say that ain't me. That ain't who I am. But I write it down last because everybody can see it. I killed Uriah. I killed a great man to hide my sin. And I want everybody to know that taught me more lessons than all the successes I've had. There's some men in this room right now. You've had some awful failures. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he'll take those failures and make those the greatest story of your life.
Amen.
He will make those a monument of a man he can transform and to make into a man that you never thought possible.
Amen.
As they sing this
Amen.
Song, if God spoke to your heart, please come.